Hey, this is Michael from Modern Musician, and before we start the show, I wanted to let you know that right now, I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Specifically, we're looking for artists that have at least one song professionally recorded. It doesn't have to be, you know, Beyoncé-level production, but it just needs to be something that you feel proud of and you're ready to promote. We're looking for artists who are really just poised for growth and are ready to go all in on their music. And yeah, there's this saying that when the student's ready, the mentor appears. And so that's you. If you're truly ready for it, then I want to invite you to apply for a free coaching call with our team. The goal is to launch an automated system that allows you to build a loyal and engaged fan base so you can make a sustainable income with your music online without having to sell your soul to social media or post 20 times a day on TikTok. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application and share one of your songs. I'm looking forward to checking out your music, and now let's start the show.
Don't hide your passion. Don't apologize for your passion. Don't let that passion kind of, you know, get swept away by someone else's opinion. Like I really say that when we talk about jumping in the deep end, jump in the deep end with your passion.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. You can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. Yeah! All right, so I'm excited to be here with my new friend, Chris Johnson. So Chris leads artist discovery and development as the head of A&R at SoundCloud. Shaping the future of music. He brings 15 plus years of expertise from top tier roles at 360, Roc Nation, and Monster Cat. He's played a key role in elevating stars like Deadmau5 and Frank Ocean. He has a passion for empowering artists at every stage of the music journey. And I'm really excited to have him on here today to dive into the foundation of how to identify and build an audience for your music, which is really kind of at the core of what it takes to, you know, do music full time. And it's kind of an interesting time in history right now with the internet and with independent, you know, music distribution. So really look forward to having a conversation with you and hearing a little bit about your insights and perspective on how artists can best connect with their fans. So Chris, thank you for taking the time to be here today.
Of course. It's a genuine honor. Thank you for having me on. I need you to introduce me on every call and everywhere I go. That was incredible. You could just roll with me at all times. That would be awesome.
That's, yeah, we should create an app. It'll be the...
Exactly.
Yeah! There you go. And then like the intro and people can just pull out their phones.
Everyone
and
it'll just, I meet, just like this.
Well, Chris, maybe to kick things off, could you just share a little bit about your background and story and how you came to work as head of A&R at SoundCloud and worked with bands like Deadmau5?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been doing this, as you said, for 15 years now. I mean, honestly, taking it kind of back, I'm one of those people, all I've ever done is music. I've worked a bar job to support my internship. I worked a kind of telesales job for 3 months before getting let go for making beats at my desk when I was meant to be selling insurance instead. All I've ever done and known is music. You know, I'm very kind of a one skill band in that sense. But I started off by going to kind of music technology. You know, I grew up in and around London and just kind of like made music very early on, was making music for friends, was making music for myself. And then I went to music technology at a college back in the UK. I did 3 years there, music tech and business. By the third year, you know, I was doing a lot of the business side of it then. Ironically, now being in the business, at that time, I didn't like that as much. I was a studio rat. I was trying to record drums and bands and, you know, MCs, et cetera. And I was trying to make a lot of music. So I came out of that kind of that 3 year period very much being like, I'm going to work in music, whatever it takes. And that's what you have to kind of do to crack into this business. So when I came out of university, I spent, no joke, about 12 months every single Friday writing and hand delivering letters to studios, to labels. I used to turn up at Universal Music in my little, I think I wore my dad's suit to go to Universal Music and drop off my resume, and eventually got lucky enough to get an internship at 360 Group. At that time, this is about 2010. So at that time, dance music was just starting to break in the US. It was just starting to have that kind of moment, but we know now. And 360 were managing Deadmau5, and they were managing Calvin Harris, who were two of the biggest players at the forefront of that breaking in the States. So I got an absolute deep end gate crash into the music industry, like very quickly. And so for the first about 6 months of my internship, I worked on a lot of record labels. So I worked on Chris Lake's label, Michael Wood's label, Deadmau5's label. The first project I ever worked was Skrillex, Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites. My first ever job was uploading that to Beatport. That was like my first beekeeping intern.
Wow.
And I just got this amazing, like, you know, real deep end into what it takes to run a label, not just from finding and signing artists, but from communicating with the artist who runs that label, what their vision is, all the way through to learning about royalties and learning about accounting and learning about metadata and label copies. So I came out of that internship after about 18 months of working a bar job at the same time with just a lot of label experience. And that's kind of the lane that I then stayed in. Luckily enough, was able to turn that internship into a full job. And I worked quite exclusively with Deadmau5 throughout that time. So at the time, I was able to run his label, Mousetrap. And that was having a bit of like a renaissance. And we were able to bring that back. And I was able to be very, you know, it was great because I was able to work with artists such as Skrillex, Feed Me, Foreign Beggars, Mogwai, Noisier, like incredibly, incredible artists. And then I was able to kind of usher in the new generation with Deadmau5 as well, which is, you know, Rez, Atlas, and some of the artists that have come out of the Deadmau5 camp since. I did a lot of touring down during that time. I was with Deadmau5 for, I think, about 7 years, and I did a lot of touring. So I got to see production and behind the scenes of that world as well. And then around 2017, I joined Monster Cat. I had friends at Monster Cat, and it was just a totally new challenge. It was another label that had a very passionate fan base, which is something I really love, like being in the kind of pressure cooker of a passionate fan base. But they operated in a different world. They had a subscription model. They had a gaming model. And I wanted to take the challenge to learn a new lane. So I was at Monster Cat for a couple of years. And then SoundCloud came knocking. And that was, you know, I think I've been at SoundCloud for 4 years now. So this was around my like decade in the industry. It just meant so much to me to even get a chance to interview at SoundCloud, to the point that once I got the job, me and my wife had a saying, and I used to say all the time, like, remember when I work at SoundCloud? Because that was just the coolest thing to me. I'd kind of made it in that sense. And I'd been a SoundCloud kid from day one myself. So yeah, I've been at SoundCloud coming up 4 years now. As you mentioned, I'm head of A&R now. I started as senior A&R, so I've been very lucky in the sense that they've trusted me and given me more responsibility, etc., and influence across the company in the lane that I work in. And here we are now. I get to head up a really exciting team. My team is kind of split in two. And this makes sense once I explain it. We have like our A&R side, and they're very much like your bread and butter A&Rs. They're out in the studios. They're out in the metaphorical streets. They are speaking to artists every day. I then have a talent ID team. That talent ID team are the data side. They are hunting throughout our data every day. They are checking the moves on charts. They are seeing who's jumping, who's moving, what scenes are getting momentum. And they feed that back to the A&Rs in the sense of almost like leads. Like, hey, go and check this out because we think something's happening. And that setup of a team has just been really exciting to me. So that brings us to current day.
Let's go. Holy cow,
that was
man.
A lot, hey?
That's a very cool journey.
Yeah, thank
both
you, yeah.
Starting with from like the internship and just sort of like a plus one to the whole concept of like internships in general of like getting things started. I think in a lot of cases, especially in like the music industry, there's different paths you can take, but it seems like a tried and true path has always been like jump in the deep end, surround yourself the people who are doing the thing. And learning from it. So that's awesome.
That jump in the deep end bit, absolutely. Like for me, I've done my 10,000 hours. You know, I'm very comfortable in that sense. And I did them in the deep end. And that's always one of my bits of advice to people is I kind of take your safety nets off and jump in the deep end because growth happens beyond comfort. It doesn't happen when you're in your comfort zone. And so deep end for sure. That's where I've kind of done my whole career and loved it.
Awesome. So having experience for 15 years of doing this, and having both personal experience with the record labels, with these artists, and also working with SoundCloud and managing this whole roster, I'm curious what your perspective is on the current scope of the music industry. What are some of the biggest challenges/opportunities or issues that you see artists struggling with right now?
Great question, because I think there's so many components and answers to it. I will talk about the ones I obviously know and are kind of close to my heart. I was actually listening to a podcast, I think last year or so, and they were talking about, is it harder to be an artist now or easier to be an artist compared to maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago? I kind of land on the side, it's easier to be an artist in terms of being able to get music out there. Like, SoundCloud, you can upload music in 2 minutes and have it live in the world. That didn't exist even 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. However, on the flip side, because of that, because there is so much access and the gate has been lowered, there is so much music being uploaded. And I think the challenge has become now is like, how do you break through a little bit? How do you find your community? How do you crack that maybe first 2,000 listeners and turn 2,000 to 10,000 to 20,000? Yeah, it's kind of become harder to like kind of break through in that sense. And that's where I'm very excited about kind of what we're doing in that sense as well. I will say, I think there's two other elements. I think, making money off streams, like it's become quite tough. We know the royalty rates across the kind of board. And I think if you are looking at to just make money off your music, you might be like struggling, And I think that's where it's really important to build these communities and allow you to access, dropping vinyl or dropping shows and finding other ways of revenue. I think the last and a big one for me, because I've had my ups and downs with it throughout the years, is mental health. I think because there is so much access, there's so much information, you upload your music and you see hundreds of other people uploading music right there and then, I think the mental health side of this game in both trying to make it and then trying to sustain it has become a lot tougher. We see very big artists having to take breaks from tours regularly. These are artists who have got, full management teams and labels and PRs helping them, and they're still having to take breaks because this game's tough. I think the mental health side of it, I'm quite passionate about helping down the line and trying to find opportunities for people to talk and get support. So they're the three things that are kind of close to my heart on that question.
Awesome. So maybe we start and just tackle those like one at a time. But the first one that you shared was around how we're kind of in the golden age of making music and putting it out, distributing it. Because of platforms like SoundCloud, You can literally just create something and there's no gate. You can just like upload it and boom, it's on the internet.
Even just all like the software and the VSTs and stuff. I was making beats, I was making grime beats 20 years ago for my really bad rapper friends to rap on, myself included. I had no idea how to plug MIDI in. I couldn't go on YouTube and learn stuff. I couldn't go on Reddit and find a community. I couldn't go in SoundCloud DMs and speak to people. The access to everything has just become, like you said, it's really great in that sense. You can learn. If you want to learn, you can learn on the internet. It's right there.
That's so true. Ian, it seems like, at the time of recording this, AI is really exploding the past couple of years now. And obviously in music in particular, in artwork industries, there's still discussions happening around AI and like ethical uses of it. And there's maybe some fear around like, is this going to replace art, artistic freedom? But you can't argue that these tools are making it extremely easy to create content, create more music faster, easier than ever, which leads to increasing that issue of like there's more and more noise, more and more music, more and more stuff. How do you cut through? So I would love to hear your perspective on like for an artist who's listening to this right now, who's maybe in that early stage and they have a passion for their music and they want to build an audience, but they're struggling to figure out how to actually like find the right people and connect with them. What would your advice for them to be to start out?
I think you touched on it again, that word passion. I would base my career and my success off passion. I'm a very passionate, stubborn individual, which are two qualities that really work well in the music industry, it turns out. I think lean into your passion being the first thing. Like, don't be afraid to take some of those safety nets off. Don't be afraid, like, don't hide your passion. Don't apologize for your passion. If you love music and you want to make music or work in music, watch documentaries, you know, like speak to people, join a Reddit community, join a local community, and just don't let that passion kind of, you know, get swept away by someone else's opinion. Like I really say that when we talked about jumping in the deep end, jump in the deep end with your passion. On the more SoundCloud side of things, you know, I look at SoundCloud as like a sandbox. I look at it as like an RPG. It's a pick your own adventure, Goosebumps type scenario. You are not having to, like we said, you can upload stuff. If I wanted to right now, I could upload a song in 60 seconds. You're not having to work through an aggregator. You're not having to kind of sit there and really hope that your song gets matched to the right, like a Spotify profile or whatever it might be. I really say like embrace that sandbox approach. I think everyone knows the benefits, right? You know, you need to be releasing quite constantly. And I was actually watching some of the other podcasts and you had an artist talking about the idea of releasing every 4 to 6 weeks to keep that momentum. I absolutely agree, but I think there's a more, especially with my SoundCloud bias, I think there's just a much more, like, almost like forget the rules. Like, forget what you've been told. You've been told you need to release every single 4 weeks. You know, I think just embrace the random chaos of SoundCloud and the freedom of it, and that will translate with your audience in the sense of, you know, I know very big artists who have burner accounts and they upload music for 24 hours and then they take it down. And the fans who have been able to find those burner accounts get to experience the uniqueness of it. But the artists, they're testing stuff. They're testing the reaction. They're testing how it sounds. They're testing how it looks in a waveform. They're testing what the fans say around it. I think, you know, the artists that usually hit my radar or really pique my interest are artists, and I think massively influenced by Deadmau5, because I think Deadmau5 was the king of doing this in his, like, apparently, like, 2014 SoundCloud days. It's kind of just embrace the ability that you can upload things. You know, upload an idea and take it down. Upload your acapellas and let artists work with it. Upload your stems. Upload a mixtape out the blue. I think we've all been slightly preconditioned, including me and how I used to do release strategy, into being very by the book. And I think we're seeing now the freedom in between the lines, being able to kind of take charge of when you drop music and do whatever you want in that sense. It really feeds your fan base. It's exciting. If I'm waiting for an artist and they drop a single and then I know I've got another 5 weeks until another single drops, am I coming back in 5 weeks? Well, if you're chatting to fans in your comments, you're uploading random bits of music, you're testing stuff out, you're active in that sense as part of your community, you're a genuine member of your own community. It's just so exciting to fans. And I think that way you get this, oh my God, like so-and-so just dropped a whole mixtape overnight. Where did that come from? And I really think just kind of embrace the sandbox chaos approach of SoundCloud. Go crazy in it. Experiment and have fun.
Awesome. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is that, and a lot of times it feels like we have to kind of follow by the rules or do things like release a song consistently every 4 weeks or 6 weeks. But if you can, you know, let it be more interactive and organic and do things that are kind of off the wall, that are inspired by the spur of the moment, then that's a great way to, you know, create spontaneity, to connect with your community, to kind of, rather than them predicting and knowing, okay, this is exactly what I can expect, you can create these surprises and these little moments that create something special for them that you do the unexpected.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, like, fans aren't idiots. Like, fans, especially fans on SoundCloud, they are like super passionate, educated music fans. And if you're dropping by the books, they're going to know it's by the books. You know, if you're doing everything very formulaic, they're going to feel that. And I think you lose a sense of artistic expression. I think you lose a sense of creativity and you lose a sense of like fun in that. Now, like I said, I think there's absolute value. You should be in the market every so often and you should be trying to build and drop stuff often. I'm not taking that away. But I think there's just so much, just free space to have fun between those lines. And like I said, fans aren't idiots. They'll pick up on it. Like, I can very quickly see when an artist is having fun with their music, and that makes me have fun alongside it. So, yeah, that genuine member of your community. You know, if you're in there with fun comments and you're responding to people, you're part of the community. You're not just, you know, sat on a throne above it. And I think that really tells, you know, fans love that these days.
Good stuff. Yeah, so it sounds like you're really kind of the key to it is around just like enjoying yourself and having fun and following the passion. you're doing the things.
I'm always going to come back to follow the passion, because that's got me to where I am now. And, you know, the people on my team, I'm kind of one of those mission commitment leaders. Like, for me, if you're missing some skills, I'll help you with those skills. But what I need to see just myself is the passion. Are you committed to the music? Do you love this? Are you willing to like really put yourself outside your comfort zone and learn? I'd rather take someone like that as both a member of my team and as an artist than someone who's got all the skills, but there's no passion there. They're just doing it by the books. I can't relate to that. I just don't understand it. So, you know, that's what clicks for me.
Good stuff. So your advice is really to like, it reminds me of Follow Your Bliss by Joseph Campbell and that concept of the hero's journey. But really, if you use that as a compass, then that's going to lead you in the right direction. So I'm curious, you know, knowing that that's, you know, arguably the most important thing, that's the thing that's gotten you where you are, and that's the thing that you see that is leading artists to really building these communities and connecting and doing what they love. What do you think gets in the way of that? Like, what's because do you think everyone has like the passion like inside of them, but they're just not fully expressing it? Or like, you know, what is?
Yeah. I mean, this is where, you know, I can only speak for myself, right? And I know some people might listen or hear this, and they might not have the same brain wired in the same way I do. Being a real member of your community, logging on every day and talking, etc., is not for every artist, and that is okay in itself as well. I think there's two elements to it. You know, my first goes back to what we touched on earlier, is I think quite often the passion might be there, but people are scared to express it, or they've tried to express it in the past and fell. I do it, man. I upload an Instagram story, and then 2 hours later, I'm like, oh gosh, like that, you know, oh, do I look a bit silly for posting that? I think there's always that element, which is why you almost have to deep end your passion. Everyone knows me as a very passionate person, and I kind of like wear that proudly on my sleeve. It's who I am, and I don't apologize for it in that sense. The other part that I see a lot is people hit kind of like a wall themselves, you know, and especially with their audiences. Like, they'll be uploading music, maybe following all of my advice. You know, they'll be uploading every couple of weeks. They'll be dropping music, etc. And then it's hard to break through. I see a lot of artists, really, really good songs, man. Really good songs. But like at 2,000 streams. And then I come back a month later expecting them to be at 20,000. And they're at 2,100. And I think in that sense, you start to see is that artists have kind of hit like the end of their bubble, if that makes sense. You know, they spoke to the same fans quite a few times and uploaded that music, and then they start to really struggle with being like, okay, well, how do I find that next 1,000? How do I find that next 10,000? How do I convert them to that 1,000 repeating every month, like hardcore fans? But, you know, I've heard on your podcast before as being a really vital concept. That's what I see. So that's what I'm trying to work to solve. And I think that's really what SoundCloud has been gearing up for in the last 6 months, and very much going hard on and gearing up for this year, is, okay, this is a really, really great song. You have been putting effort into your community. We see it. Let us put you in front of a few more eyeballs. Let us give you an opportunity to reach those couple new fans. And then we will see that. Are you putting in the work to convert them from there? I would say, I mean, honestly, a kind of hard truth is a lot of artists feel that they are really doing everything they should be, you know? And I'm talking about SoundCloud bias here. I uploaded my album, I dropped a mini mix, and I replied to a couple of comments for the first week. I then kind of go back through their profile with them and say, well, look, like dropping music and then being active for 4 days, that's not what it takes. Like, we're talking about commitment and passion here. You need to kind of being, you know, did you reply to all those fans' comments? Did you send a couple of private links via DMs of new demos to your most repeating fans so that they feel special? Are you chatting to your community and fellow artists in our DMs? And quite a few times, quite often, the artist will go, well, actually, no, I'm not. I actually haven't commented on any of my music in 3 months. Well, look, like, we see spikes in traffic on streams and engagement from comments. And I can tell you, like, and you know, as a passionate music person yourself, you know, 15-year-old me got a reply from Eminem, I would have had that printed on my wall, and I would have been a 10 times more passionate person than I am now. I think artists, that engagement, sometimes you're so caught up in trying to make it yourself but you forget what art means to people. Like you might have released a song and that really meant something to someone and it got them through a tough time. And then they dropped a comment and you didn't reply. And that's okay. But then you did reply. You replied saying, thank you for listening to this music. I love that you love this section. I worked on it in this way. That could make or break someone's year. And that's the power of art. But that's also the power of community in itself. And I think, again, this being a genuine member and invested in your own community, but ticking every box, you know, like it's don't be afraid to kind of like run it really by the books. The stuff that works, it works for a reason. Commenting and DMing, it does work. Everyone who's listening to this now, please trust me, it works. Spend 10 minutes a day on your phone chatting to people. That's all, like, you know, again, you can hear the passion coming out here, but that's really where I think being invested and just ticking all the boxes can make the difference.
Awesome. So what I'm hearing you say is that there's a couple of things that sometimes can get in the way of, you know, building a successful career and community. And generally, as it relates to like passion, one of the big ones is just sort of the fear of really putting yourself out there. And when you first post something, it's easy to look at it and be like, oh, I didn't say that right. But I was embarrassing, kind of like pull back. So first, just like a willingness to show up and follow your passion. And even if it takes some time, not expecting it to happen overnight, but continue to do it. And then the other thing that I heard was just like a willingness to connect and a focus on engagement and replying to people, having conversations back and forth. And another thing that kind of picked up from something you said earlier and what you just said was sort of this like dichotomy between quote unquote, following it by the books and doing things that you know work. For example, like replying to people, commenting, engaging, but also being willing to like do things off the books and kind of break the rules and do different things. And,
yeah, it's funny because I semi-contradicted myself in that sense. But I think if you look at it, if you put those two pieces separately together, you know, you're going off the grid slightly in a sense. You're not following the rules. You might be dropping a mixtape out the blue, uploading some acapellas, testing a demo. But when you're doing that, be involved in your community, you know, don't break the rules and then disappear. Like, and we're talking about artists early on in their career. This is that stage that I'm looking at here. And I think, you know, just like I said, fans are not idiots. Like they are going to really see if you love what you do and they're going to see those replies. They're going to see those uploads. I kind of like artists who upload music and then take it down because you'll see fans go to the comments of other songs and be like, re-upload that song, you idiot. Like, what are you doing? That right there is when you've got an engaged fan base who want to have fun alongside you. So break the rules, but tick the boxes at the same time. You have to, you can't, you know, I prepared for coming into this podcast, you know, that right there, you kind of have to tick the boxes and be prepared. And then I trusted that my passion would carry me through, which hopefully it does.
It absolutely is. And, you know, I think you're right that both of those things they might seem like a paradox, but they actually are both true. What came to mind was this concept of emulate, then innovate. And especially it reminds me of like when you're learning to, I don't know, do anything, if you want to do it well, like first you find people who are doing it really well and you kind of just like emulate them. Like you learn cover songs, you just do what they're doing. You're like, okay, they're doing this for a reason. They put in their 10,000 hours. Like, okay, I'm just going to do what they're doing. But then at a certain point, if that's all you do, then it's like, it kind of falls flat because there's nothing unique to it. There's nothing surprising or something, you know, that brings you into it. So I definitely think both of those things that you just shared are really important. And connecting with your fans like directly seems like arguably maybe the most important thing for building a community. So as it relates to that specific topic of like connecting with your fans, it sounds like SoundCloud, you know, you're really going all in on this concept of helping artists to build communities, to identify their fans, connect more, monetize their music. So I'm curious just to hear where your passion's at, you know, like looking at 2025 and the future, like where things are headed, what kind of lights you up about what you're currently working on?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, I think there's two things. There's the element of what I'm working on at SoundCloud, which we'll get into. And, you know, you touched on AI earlier. I'm very excited about it now that I've seen it in action. And what I mean by that is, I'm a little older. I'm in my 30s. You know, I you know, came up in kind of the 90s and early 2000s and had a certain view of what art should be, you know, being maybe a bit old school in that sense. And a lot of the time, you know, we find songs on SoundCloud, you know, and we have to kind of go, is this AI or not? Because that's the world that we live in now. I'm now excited about the possibility because I've seen it in action. I actually went and what I would say sat in the middle of it. So over, I think, probably like October onwards, I was like, let me actually go and see how musicians are using AI, not just how a music industry person views AI. So I went into a studio session with a couple of like really, really good hip hop producers that I know in LA who are just, you know, geniuses in their space. They were all using AI, like in the sense of they would write some chords and like they're old musicians, write some chords. Then they'd put it in AI and see what AI added to that. Wow, I really like that piano line coming down. Wow, that drum fill there is incredible. Then they'd go back into the studio and recreate those elements. They were using it for inspiration, not just kind of like copying and pasting. It totally opened my eyes to it. And these were like real, you know, they've got cuts with like serious, serious rappers. I was expecting them to be like, nah, I don't like AI. And it was the opposite. They were like, why would I limit myself to something that could add more creativity and knowledge to what I do? So I'm very excited in that sense of to see where AI takes the music creation and the ability for people to learn from AI, I think is really exciting. I think, sorry, back to the SoundCloud element, very much. I mean, I use this like rungs on a ladder metaphor quite a lot. I think the industry as a whole, and myself included in the past, we've been guilty of helping artists. You know, if there's 10 rungs on a ladder, right? We've been a bit guilty of helping artists at rung 5. Like, oh, you've got a bit of a fan base, or you've already got some shows. Here I come along bandwagging and I'll jump on that and I'll help you, let me manage you type thing. Or let me put you in a playlist over here, whatever it may be. I'm personally really excited to start helping at rung 1. Like, I want to create, and we are really building this at SoundCloud, where your very first step on the ladder, your first couple of uploads could land you into our buzzing playlists, could land you onto our A&R team's radar each week. That's very much happening. Like, we are A&Ring each week and we are finding like 50 to 100 new songs and artists each week. My real excitement is then to create opportunities from that rung one. So being able to feature in our buzzing playlists and using that as a place to jump into our editorial playlists, being able to, you know, we launched a merch store. We're testing some like artist to fan merch store side of things. I'm just really excited to those artists who are, you know, they're looking around and going, oh, well, you know, so-and-so really big got this support, but you know, that's Billie Eilish. And I'm not Billie Eilish. I've only made a few songs. While if you looked sideways and said, oh, wow, one of my peers was at the SoundCloud office and got featured in this playlist and they had a program that they got featured in, like first on SoundCloud, that FOMO, that drive of thinking like it happens to your peers, I think that adds to the passion because you start to see, oh, SoundCloud or the industry or my peers are creating or having opportunities. Let me commit a little bit more. Let me give that extra 20%. Let me try and get into a studio session and write some more music. Let me upload my mixtape. I've been sitting on my hard drive for 5 years. Let me put it out there. I'm so passionate about creating those early opportunities. And the level of music we hear on a weekly basis, Michael, like, I'm just such talented artists, such incredible records that are just waiting to like be heard and change people's life in that art form sense. That's where I think we really come in and, you know, we lead what's next in music. You know, like I have a kind of running joke that if any A&R, any of my, you know, fellow rival A&Rs tell me I'm too early, good. If I'm too early, that means we're leading what's next in music. So I've had a very big A&R in the game be like, no, this is too early. And I was like, then good, I'm there before you. And he was like, oh okay, right, I see where you're coming from now. Everyone was kind of looking for a while for, you know, a teed up, hit it out the park type artist. And I think we've ignored genuine artist development. And I'm very excited to lead the charge on bringing that back at SoundCloud.
That's super exciting. Yeah, it definitely seems like, you know, based on our conversation so far, what you're talking about, the biggest challenge being sort of like the cutting through the noise and kind of getting started, being able to serve artists at rung one of ladder is a great way to kind of help solve that core issue that exists right now in the industry. Okay, awesome. So yeah, I think one final topic that I would love to hear your perspective on is specifically related to monetization. We talked about a little bit earlier, like with Spotify streaming, that's one of the biggest challenges for a lot of artists, just figuring out how to make it sustainable. You know, how do I do music full time? How do I transition from a day job to focusing full time on the music? And so I'm curious to hear your perspective on, like, for an artist right now who's listening to this, who maybe, like, there's no doubt in their mind, like, their passion, their heart is their music. It's the thing that they feel, when they wake up, they feel excited about it. They're willing to hustle. They're like, they're every day, like, they're replying to people. What do you recommend for them in terms of ways to start generating income and being able to, you know, provide for themselves and their families?
A really great question. And I think, you know, I talk about jumping in the deep end. I think you need to prepare to almost be unprepared, if that makes sense. I would say if you're starting off and you want to really commit yourself to music, prepare for that. Maybe you need to work an extra 3 months at that bar job to put the money together to get a bit of an equipment, or give yourself, right, I know that I can spend the next 9 months fully committed to music because I've got this safety net of money. That allows you to kind of jump in the deep end, but not, you know, I kind of, you know, sacrifice yourself to a degree.
You jump in the deep end, but you have like a little floaty, or you have like an instructor, right. you're not going
to
drown.
You're not jumping in just a deep current and getting swept away. You know, prepare to allow yourself to have that freedom. I think we've all made mistakes where we're like, I'll just wing it, you know, like I'll just get in there and wing it. And I tell you, when you get in there and try and wing it and it goes wrong, there's nothing more embarrassing, but there's also nothing more of a learning lesson in those moments. So prepare for that commitment, like give yourself the extra 3 months of that job or whatever it might be. I think then, you know, it's a concept I've heard you touch on. It's a concept that one of my mentors, Tracy Chan, has like really kind of first put into my head when he was at SoundCloud from Twitch. Is this idea of like 1,000 fans, like a very committed, repeating fan base, ones who are going to drop that, buy that vinyl when you drop it, ones who are going to jump in their car with their buddies for 4 hour and road trip up to your show that you're doing. It is much better in my mind to have 1,000, then 2,000, then 10,000 dedicated fans than maybe sitting in a couple of playlists and having a couple of 100,000 fans, but they're very, very passive. So I would say definitely like gear yourself up to that mindset of like, how do I like hyper service and build this very like tight fan base? Because they're the ones who will spend a couple of $100 on you rather than just passively listening to you in the background. And then I think that obviously, like we said, the monetization. Turn your monetization on. Like, I mean this in like a genuine sense. I could not tell you how many artist profiles that I look at in meetings or stuff, and they forgot to monetize 20 songs in their back catalog, and they've missed out on a couple of $1,000 of revenue, or they've missed out on that opportunity to be playlisted with those songs. So what we're doing now as a part of our education with That Wrong One is very, very early on saying that, like, hey, we've discovered your music through the community, through the fans. You're on our radar. Here's some tip. You need to get your music monetized. You need to clean up some of these elements. And, you know, we've had artists who have turned on their monetization and without even really having to put more effort in, have made an extra $500 a month. This is why it goes back to my earlier advice. Sure, break the rules, but make sure you're ticking all the boxes. Monetize your music. Turn it on. Add your PayPal account. That's step one. I think from there is what we're experimenting with. And this is something our incredible CEO, Elias Seton, is very passionate about, is creating other avenues for artists to sustain their careers outside of streaming. So we've been testing like the merch store. We're testing how that works with fans, how that works with artists, and we want to be able to kind of continue building in that lane. We're working on ideas of really almost like, how do we get out of the way? Like, how is there, like, we provide the tools and the room for you all to speak to your, like, artists to meet and speak with their fans, but then we pull out as a middleman. And I think we're looking at more initiatives like that. Like, you know, we've got We've got a program. There you go. We've got a program called First on SoundCloud that was in that lane. And I think that's something that we're really striving to bring back, is these, like, wrong one opportunities. But yeah, I'll say it again, monetize your music, people. Just make sure it's done. It takes 60 seconds and it does make the difference. And, you know, if we're finding records, we want to playlist it that week because we love it, and you haven't monetized your music, you might not get that playlist until the following week when you've done it. And that's a week that you've been slightly behind because you haven't ticked the box. So, you know, I'd say that the basic advice has come in, but it's an area that we're really experimenting in and passionately believe in.
So good. Yeah, you know, this. It seems like that age-old wisdom of just like showing up and just like putting your hat in the ring and things like we just said, like, you know, you gotta turn it on. You have to actually ask. You actually have to make it off. If you don't make an offer, if you don't have it, if it's not an option, then no one can say yes to it.
Exactly. Like, you know, head to your dashboard. Down the left-hand side is monetization. Jump in and get your payment details there and make sure your music is monetized. It's just a very easy way to make sure you're on top of things. It's a bit of caretaking that might give you that feeling of like, I've done my caretakings and now I can go and make some random beats for the rest of the day. But, you know, just cover the basics and make sure that you're operating in almost like a bit of a business sense in that way. You know, flip it this way. As an artist and you had an artist manager, if you found out your artist manager hadn't monetized your music, how annoyed would you be as an artist? So you've got to take that own responsibility and ownership yourself to get it done.
Fantastic. Well, Chris, man, it's been great connecting and really appreciate you coming on here to share some of your lessons and wisdom. And yeah, for me personally, SoundCloud, it's an honor to have you on the podcast. Yeah, I use SoundCloud. It's the only place that I have, like, right now I have like a new album that I've been working on and it's on SoundCloud. So I share it with my friends and family. We have got a song I wrote for my daughter called Hello Willow. And we play it for her every night before she goes to bed.
You're going to have to send that to me afterwards now. You know that, right?
Okay, I will. I'll send it to you. All of the plays you'll see on that song are literally from just like me playing it for Willow every night. She's 4 years old, but your platform has made it possible to like have those moments with my daughter. So I'm very grateful and for SoundCloud and for you taking the time here to share some of what you've learned. Also for what you guys are building right now. It seems like it's really meant to serve the community exactly like that we're focused on connecting with here at Amon Musician. So thanks for everything you're doing. And for anyone who's listening to this right now who is interested in being a part of some of those early initiatives or just like looking to take the next step with discovering what's possible with SoundCloud, where do you recommend they go to dive deeper?
You can follow me and find me on social media. I'm Chris_Robyn, R-O-B-Y-N, because I was trying to be unique at the time I came up with my Instagram, apparently. You can find me on there, and I would definitely follow the SoundCloud channels. They've got really good at balancing that promotion with advice for artists. Like, jump on the socials. They will show you how to monetize your music. They will show you how to use DMs and private links. Like, there's a lot of information to learn straight from the source here. I think in terms of the bigger SoundCloud world, just get on there. Like, as you said about SoundCloud, I took so much pride in being at SoundCloud and what we're building because I was a genuine SoundCloud person. I signed and found all my music on SoundCloud. And if you're not on SoundCloud and if you're not uploading your music and that beat of yours is just sat on a hard drive, I'm not going to come knocking. And so I will say every single week we're finding new artists. We're reaching out. Artists who didn't think SoundCloud would reach out are getting calls from me. And so get your music on there and keep having fun with it. And, you know, if it doesn't click this year, it could click next year. But get stuff off your hard drive and have fun.
Awesome. Well, like always, we'll put all the links in the show notes for easy access. And Chris, thank you again for being on the podcast today.
No, seriously, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you for that intro. Thank you for the questions. And yeah, really hope your audience found some use in this.
Yeah! Hey, this is Michael. And I just want to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable. And if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.